Jesus. Oh, the Lord is so good. Doesn't it feel good in His house today? Amen. Oh, come on. Doesn't it feel good in His house today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel great expectation in the building. Amen. 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 If you would turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Ezra, chapter 1. And we are going to read verses 1 through 3. Then I'll talk to you for a few minutes. And then we'll read Ezra chapter 2, verses 59 through 63. But we'll start with Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. While you're turning there, I do want to say just what a great honor it is to be with you here on this snowy Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I was on my way here, and Pastor called and he said, "Have you hit snow yet?" And I said, "No, not yet." And a few minutes after I hung up, I went from clear asphalt to just a wall of snow. And I was like, "Okay, that's how they do it up here, huh?" All right then, amen. Can't see the asphalt, but we made it. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm truly humbled to be here. And I mean that with a sincere heart. I give all of you honor for braving the weather and the treacherous roads and making your way to the house of the Lord today. And I believe that God has something very special in store. I have asked the Lord and believe the Lord for a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost here today. John chapter 3 and verse 5 recounts to us an exchange between the Lord and Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him and engaged him in a conversation, and the Lord gave him an answer or a response that I think took him by surprise. He said, "Unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I'll tell you why. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was somebody who loved the Lord. He had a faith that he already held on to. I had a similar conversation with my barber just this past week. He is a Christian. He is somebody who loves the Lord, but has not yet stepped into the fullness of truth that is available to all believers. And this is what was happening with Nicodemus. The Lord was explaining to him, "Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born of the water." That's baptism in Jesus' name. "And you're going to have to be born of the Spirit," which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he said, "Nicodemus, without these two things, without this new birth experience, you cannot," look at your neighbor, say, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that this gift, this new birth experience, has been made available to whosoever will. That means if you want it, God will give it to you. If you decide you're going to have the faith to believe it, the Lord will give it to you. So if you're in this place today, make no mistake. If you are here and you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to know I'm here for you. You are the reason that I showed up here today. And make no mistake, if you feel like God is reaching for you, He is. If it feels like I'm preaching to you, I am. Because I believe that God has ordained today to be the day of salvation in your life. If you believe that, would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. Ezra chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And we need to understand here the context of this scripture. This is the Israelite children, the Hebrew children, coming out of 70 years of Babylonian captivity. 70 years of bondage. That's 3.5 generations of people. Verse 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying,
Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Verse 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And I want to preach to you with the help of the Lord this morning. Ye are children of Israel. Ye are children of Israel. Would you pray with me before we're seated? Jesus, we love you. Oh, we're so thankful to be in your house today with people of like precious faith. Oh, thankful for your love, your mercy, your blood, the outpouring of your spirit, your promise of salvation to whosoever will. Lord, I pray right now that you would release in this house the operation of the gift of faith. Lord, and we believe that before we leave here today, these altars will be fruitful, and there will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon all flesh. God, I take authority over every distraction, every persuasion that is contrary to the word of God. And in the name of Jesus, I prophesy that there will be a harvest in this house today. In the name of Jesus Christ, release your favor, release your love, and release your faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. As you're seating yourselves, I do want to give honor to Pastor Arderi and the great leadership of this church. What a mighty man of God your pastor is. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm thankful for him, thankful for his vision, for his ministry. He is the shepherd to this city. He's the shepherd to this area of Ohio. I felt that very strongly as I was sitting in your office, Pastor. The Lord has given you authority and dominion in this area, and you can watch for his impact and his leadership to multiply because God's hand is on him. Amen? Amen. This is a very powerful passage of Scripture that we just read, and I'm just going to just kind of break it down for you very simply. There is a king here, and the Lord has moved upon the heart of this king and said, it's time to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and it's time to initiate this restoration process in Jerusalem. And he commissions people to go back to work. Here you have 3.5 generations of people who had been in Babylonian captivity, and King Cyrus issues this decree. He said, those of you who are children of Israel, he said, you may exit captivity and return to Jerusalem to do the work that God has commissioned. Hallelujah. Their identity was going to qualify them to do the work that was at hand, to build the temple. This very, very unique set of circumstances, because no doubt every person in captivity wanted to leave. But there was a mandate given that in order to leave, in order to go and do the work that the king had commissioned, you had to be a child of Israel. How many of you have ever gotten a job? Oh, good. I was nervous. You guys were a little slow to raise your hands. I was like, oh, my. I remember when I was 15 years old, I began to desire some nicer things than my mom could afford. You know, I wanted some Jordans, and she was happy to get me some Jordache shoes. Hallelujah. And she let me know that if I wanted some Jordans or if I wanted a Walkman, does anybody remember Walkmans? If I wanted a Walkman, hallelujah, she said I was going to need to get a J-O-B. Amen. And so I remember one Sunday coming home from church. Good things happen when you go to church. I was driving home from church. I was riding home from church, rather. And I'm in the back seat, and we're passing this little health club that was on our route home, and they had a sign out by the road that said, "Now hiring." Man, I felt the Holy Ghost. I don't think anybody else in the car felt it, but I felt it. There was a witness in my spirit. I said, "Mom, we got to go in here right now." I said, "I need to go in there and let them know that they can take that sign down. Because no matter what the job is, I'm here to fulfill that job." And so I walked into that place brimming with confidence, with ignorant confidence, really. And I had no idea what they were hiring for, but I walked in. I said, "I got great news." I said, "I'm here to fill the position." I didn't know what the position was. And they just kind of looked over the counter at me like, "Who is this kid?" You know. And they did something that I didn't expect. I just thought my availability would be enough to fulfill the position. But that was not the case. They slid an application across the counter. And they said, "All right, in order for you to get this job, you have to fill out an application." Anybody ever filled out an application before? Well, that was interesting. I began to fill out this application, and they wanted to know all kinds of stuff about me. They wanted to know my name, wanted to know where I lived, what my background was. They wanted to know if there was anything in my history that would prevent me from doing the job that they were hiring for. And they said, "When you bring this application back, we need to see some ID. You need to prove that you are who you say you are." And so I said, "Mom, I'm going to need some identification." I couldn't even drive yet, right? And so I had to get a state-issued ID and bring in my birth certificate and this ID and Social Security card and all this other business and one of Mom's utility bills. I had to prove that I lived where I said I did and that I was who I said I was. And I'm pleased to inform you today that I did get that job. And when I was hired, they gave me something that I wasn't expecting. They gave me a new ID. Had my name on it. Had my picture on it. Said I was authorized to be there. And with this job came something else that I didn't expect. It came with fringe benefits. Because I worked there, I got a free membership to the health club. Now that was awesome. That was awesome. It granted me access that I would not have had I not been an employee of that health club. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to go with me to Ezra chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 59. "And these were they which went up from Telmela to Harsa, Cherub, Aden, and Emer. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel." That means they had no ID. This is who it happened to. The children of Deliah. The children of Tobiah. The children of Nakoda, 652. And of the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called after their name. Look at your neighbor and say, it was the children. These sought their register, their ID, if you will, their credentials, among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, were they as polluted and put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. Here we find within these 3.5 generations of people an entire generation that could not prove that they were children of Israel. They could not show who their father's house was. When it came time to be released from bondage, they did not have the right credentials. For 3.5 generations, bondage had been stealing their identity. For 70 years, their lineage was being erased by captivity. You know, that's why it's the enemy's objective to steal your apostolic identity in Christ. Because he understands that when you become a new creature in Christ, with that identity comes an authorization and a benefit package that is tied to your identity that cannot be reckoned or used under any other set of circumstances. He understands that when you become a child of the name, you get to use the name. When you become purchased by the blood, you get to use the blood. He understands that there are kingdom benefits that come along with that new birth. Hallelujah. That's why he tries to erode your identity in Christ. He wants to discredit you and rob you of your identity by identifying you with a history of sin. Now, check this out. When I went to get that job and I had to prove who I was, who did I have to talk to? I had to talk to Mama. Because Mom was in charge of keeping that birth certificate. Mom was in charge of safeguarding my credentials so I could prove who I said I was. And here is an entire generation of children who were born into captivity. They were born into bondage. They were suffering the consequences of a situation that they were not even responsible for. And when it came time for deliverance, when it came time for an exodus, Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa could not prove that they were who they said they were. Mom and dads, that's why it's so important that you're in the house of God every single Sunday. It's why it's so important that when it's time to worship, you worship. When it's time to pray, you pray. That's why it's so important that the only time your family feels the presence of God is not just in this building, but it's in your house. Because one day the Lord is going to come knocking on your on the door of the heart of your child, and he's going to say, I got something greater, I got something higher, I got a calling, I got a purpose, I got an identity for you. And when that knock comes, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another voice in the other ear. And that voice is going to say, who do you think you are? You think God's calling you? And that child is going to have to reconcile. Am I an apostolic? Am I a child of God? I was born in the country of Brazil in a little town called Cascavel, Paraná, a little know-nothing town, poor town, nothing fancy, nothing to write home about. And I came to the United States when I was 5 years old. My mother is an American. My father is a Brazilian. And I didn't go back to visit my hometown until 2012. So it had been almost 30 years the first time that I went back to visit. When I visited there, I was very, very thankful to have come to the United States and experience all the things that I've experienced throughout life. But I will tell you, there was a moment in my life when the Lord knocked on my heart and said, there's something that I want you to do. I got a calling, I got a purpose, I got an anointing for your life. And when that day came, the enemy was in tow. And he came and whispered in my ear and said, who do you think you are? I know where you came from. See, before I was 5 years old, I saw things that grown men should not see. I witnessed things that nobody should witness. I was exposed to things. Do you know why I saw those things at such an early age? Do you know why I was around those things at such an early age? Because before I even had an ability to recognize or understand the concept of God, the enemy was already at work trying to identify me, don't miss this, with a past that I had no control over. I wasn't responsible for the things that I witnessed, was put around, or identified with at an early age in life. But nonetheless, the enemy was there to say, hey, this is who you are. This is your past because it's part of your story. It's going to dictate your future because you came from a broken home. You can never be a part of the kingdom of God because you were exposed to addiction, because you witnessed domestic violence, because you were around these situations. That's going to be part of your identity the rest of your life. Let me tell you, the enemy will try to identify you with a past that you had no control over. He will tell you because you came out of a mess, your future's a mess. Because you came out of brokenness, your future's going to be broken. Because you came out of abuse, you're going to be abusive. Because you came out of addiction, you're going to be an addict. Because you came out of dysfunction, your future is going to be chaotic and dysfunctional. But I came to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell, and there is a blood, there is a name that will break the chains of your past and open up a door to a future that is greater than anything you have ever imagined.
Hallelujah. So essentially, this decree of the king said, you can't return to purpose. You can't return to identity without the right credentials. Woo! Which begs the question, if you don't know whose you are, then how do you know who you are? What is your purpose without an identity to anchor it to? See, if the enemy can steal your identity, he can strip you of purpose and rob you of your future. He can steal your identity and your heritage. He can rob you of your access. How many of you know I came with good news today? Hebrews 9 and 15 tells me, for this cause, point to yourself and say, this cause. For this cause, I am the cause. You are the cause. He is the mediator of the New Testament.
that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I came here today to tell you that you are no longer bound by the decree of Cyrus. There is a new qualifier. There is a mediator that advocates for your place in the kingdom, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says that those that couldn't prove their lineage, they had to come before the Tirshatha. He was like the governor of that region. And you know what the Tirshatha would do? He would basically cast lots. And depending on how these objects landed, he would make a determination based on whether or not you could go and do the work in the kingdom or not. It was left up to chance. But it's not up to Urim and Thummim anymore. It's not up to chance anymore. See, the world says that your future is determined by your environment, by your social economic status, by your geography, by the color of your skin, by your diagnosis, by your last name, by your gender, by your history. But God said that's the philosophy of Urim and Thummim. That's the doctrine of chance. And get this, Jesus decided he wasn't going to leave it up to chance anymore. So he took the whole system to court. And he represented himself. 1 John 2:1 says, we have an advocate. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what an advocate is? An advocate is someone with the authority to negotiate on your behalf. And the great advocate has stood in the courtroom of eternity and negotiated a deal for you and me. And here's the settlement. You have not received the spirit of bondage, of Babylon, of captivity again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, the mediator has adopted you. When you were born again, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? That means the advocate is now your father. The mediator is now the one that is over your life. The only one with authority over all kings just signed your paperwork and made you one of his kids. Your destiny is not bound by the disaster of your past. Your future is made sure by the advocate that adopted you. Now when the enemy comes up and says, let me see some ID, you pull out your adoption papers signed in the blood of Jesus Christ and say, I am who I say I am. I'm a son of the great I am. And my Father's name is Jesus. I came today to tell you, ye are children of Israel. His blood purchased you. His name qualifies you. His sacrifice made a way for you, and his righteousness will cover you. You know, the Bible says when they were in Babylon,
they hung their harps. There was no praise. There was no worship. There was no song in captivity. You know what sin does? It robs you of your song. Robs you of your joy. But the Bible says, when those children of Israel left captivity and they came and gathered around that torn down foundation that they were getting ready to rebuild, it says they began to sing with one voice. See, for them, their praise, their joy, their peace, their song was relegated to their set of circumstances. They felt like they had no identity in Babylon. Their identity had been stripped of them in captivity. They forgot who they were. When you read Acts chapter 16, you find Paul and Silas in a prison cell, beaten, chained up, and bloody. And the Bible says at midnight, they begin to sing. Why did they sing in Acts 16 in captivity, but they lost their song in Babylon? Because Paul and Silas knew who they were and whose they were, and their song was not relegated to a set of circumstances. But they understood that their right to sing did not come by the hallelujah, by the circumstances of their environment, but their right to praise, their right to Judah, their right to peace, their right to joy was part of the benefit package of their new identity. So whether they were outside of prison or locked up in prison, they could still sing. No matter where they were or what situation they were in, they could still call on the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Some of you hung up your harps a long time ago. Let me tell you what I see in the Holy Ghost. There are people in this room right now. You've been through trauma. You've been through chaos. You've been through turmoil. And you hung up your joy a long time ago. You forgot what it's like to be happy. You can't remember the last time you had peace. Joy? What is that? That's not even in your vocabulary anymore. You hung that up a long time ago when trauma began to rob you of your identity, when circumstance begin to strip you of who you thought that you would be one day. But I'm here to tell you that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has issued a new decree. He said, come one, come all. If you want to be born again, you can become part of my family today. I will wash you in my blood. I'll write my name upon your life, and I will fill you with my spirit, says the Lord. Why is that a big deal? I'm going to tell you why it's a big deal. Because life, the chaos of life is going to continue. The volatility of life, it's going to keep on going. There's going to be ups and downs. One day the economy's good. One day the economy's bad. One day you got a job. One day you don't got a job. But no longer are the external circumstances of your environment in charge of defining who you are or defining your worth or defining your value. Because now your value, your worth, your joy, your peace, it doesn't come
come from circumstance, but it comes from a river of living water that flows within. It comes from the knowledge that I'm a child of God. No matter what's going on in my world, whether I'm employed or unemployed, I'm still a child of God. Whether I got money in the bank or I'm broke, I'm still a child of God. Whether my life's in chaos or there's still waters all around me, I still got a song because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Israel.
Hallelujah. I invite the praise team to come. When I was, like I said, I was born in Brazil. And mom's American, dad's Brazilian. And so I came here when I was 5. And I lived in the United States for a long time, became a U.S. citizen. And so as a result, I have dual citizenship. Dual citizenship. And when I was getting ready for that trip in 2012 to go back and visit my family and visit the place that I was born and all that, I had to make travel preparations. So I had to go and renew my Brazilian passport. So I had to make a trip to Washington, D.C. And I had to get my Brazilian passport renewed. And I've been to Brazil many times since then. And it's really nice having dual citizenship. When you land, you get in the Brazilian line instead of the tourist line. And when I get up to the guard, he's like, hey, Brasileiro, welcome home. And then when I come into the United States, I put that Brazilian passport away and I hand him my American passport. They're like, hey, you're an American. Welcome home. It's real easy access. Both directions. I go with some of my friends, but they don't have Brazilian passports, so they have to get in a different line. They come in with a visa. You know, they give those visa people the third degree. Why are you here? How long you staying? Where are you staying? When are you leaving? Why? Because they're not a citizen. Woo. I want to read a passage of scripture for you in closing. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13, beginning verse 24, reads this way. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master, I want you to hear that last sentence again. I know some of us were still kind of standing, maybe have missed that. I say unto you, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. That means they're going to come, they're going to show up at the gate expecting to be admitted and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and we have drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. The reason I had to go to Washington, D.C. to get that passport is because my trip was kind of booked last minute. I didn't have time to mail in all my paperwork. Wait for that whole process to unfold. So I realized the most quickest way to get this done is for me to just go to the consulate. Bring in everything that I have and try to get this done in one day. I had to make sure the consulate was open. Go there during the business hours of operation. One day, there's a trumpet that's going to sound. And the Lord is going to call His children home. And when I show up that day, my Brazilian passport's not going to get me through the gate. I say, oh, I know what you want. You want the land of the free and the home of the brave. One nation under God. Here's my American passport. It's not going to get me in. Because on that day, there's only one set of credentials that's going to get me through the gate. I've got to be a child of Israel. I'm going to have a passport that says he's been baptized in Jesus' name. He's been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. This one belongs to me. The Bible says there's going to be some that show up and they're expecting to go in. You're going to, oh, hold on, Jesus. You remember me? I was there. I was there at Christmas and Easter. You remember me, Jesus? I remember they invited me that one Sunday and I came. Remember, I stood there crying. I felt your love, Jesus. I was there. You remember? I came. I visited. I was a tourist. Look, I got a visa. Remember when I showed up? Sorry, no visas today. Today, only valid current passports will get you through the gate. But I was crying. I was weeping. Sorry, but today you need a valid current passport. But I don't have one. Well, the time is up. You need to understand. I'm speaking to somebody here today that you're counting on another opportunity. You need to hear this preacher right now. We are not promised tomorrow. I don't usually say this kind of stuff, but I feel it so strong in the Holy Ghost for somebody here today. We are not promised tomorrow. Ah, Toroshata. Today is the day of salvation. You need to make your calling and election sure. We have water here. What doth hinder you to be baptized? We have open altars. I got good news for you today. The consulate of heaven is open. They got Sunday hours, and no application will be denied today. I'll say one more thing and then I'm going to open these altars. And if the Lord's already dealing with you, you can already begin to come. But I'm going to tell you one more story. I'm not going to say where I was. The last time that I said something like this, you're not promised tomorrow, I'll never forget. I was in a small church. And I felt so strong and I just said it and came out. I said, somebody's eternity is on the line today. And there was a pastor's kid who had grown cold toward God. I'm not going to say where this was, but tragically, not much after that, that pastor's kid was killed in a tragic accident. But on that Sunday, they responded. For the first time in months, they responded. I'm telling you right now, somebody's eternity is on the line. today.
If you're in this house today and you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want to invite you to come down here today. I want to invite you to step out of your aisle. Come on, you're going to have faith. You're going to have to be brave. You're not going to have to ask somebody to move. If you're sitting here, a guest, and somebody that you know needs the Holy Ghost today, I want you to reach over and invite them. Take them by the hand and ask them, say, hey, would you like to come forward? Would you like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today? Come on, every eye closed in this house. Every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, come on forward. Come on, we got some coming already. I want you to come right down here, right where I'm at. Come on, come on, right down here. Come on, if you're here and you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, come on, I want you to make a line right here, right here. Come on, shoulder to shoulder. Come on, make a line right here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? You're in this place today and you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You want to receive it before you leave here today. Come on, you're not the first one anymore. You can come and just join this group. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now here's what I would like. I would like for two believers, if you believe that every person up here today can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before they leave, I want two, no more than two believers, to come and stand behind each one of these people right now. Men with men, ladies with ladies, I want two believers to come and join yourself to these folks right here. Come on. Two believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have any available ministers that can help me pray this morning. Any available ministers, I want you to just come and stand right in front of these steps here. Any available ministers that can help me, just come and stand right in front of these steps here. Now, church, I want you to keep your focus and I want you to listen. And those of you who came up here to pray, I want you to hear me. For those of you who are remaining in your seats, I'm going to ask you to come and join us in the altars on both sides here. Bring your faith forward because we're going to pray together here in just a moment. I'm going to give some instructions and we're going to pray and God is going to pour out His Spirit. And if you need the Holy Ghost, it's not too late. At any point, you can come and join this group right here. Hallelujah. If you came up to receive the Holy Ghost today, I want you to look at me. I'm going to give you just a few simple instructions. You came forward today because you believe. You're a believer. And the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. You believe. Something that was said here today struck a chord in your heart and you believe that things can be different in your life. And I'm here today to tell you that God is not slack concerning His promises. He will deliver on His promises for you. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to do it just like the Bible says. The Bible says that we have to repent. And what this means is we're going to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. But we're not just asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins. When you repent today, I want you to hear me. When you repent today, you're not just simply confessing and saying, God, please wash me in your blood and we're going to, and forgive me of my sins. You're going to ask that, but you're doing it with a mind that you are no longer going to live a life of sin. You are no longer going to live for yourself. But you are doing a 180. You used to walk for you, but now you're going to walk for Jesus. You used to live for you, but now you're going to live for Jesus. That's what repentance is. It's not just confession, but it's saying, God, I used to do it my way, but I'm ready to do it your way. God, I'm ready to cut off everything else in my life and give my heart completely and totally to you. Church family, I'm going to invite you to pray with us. We're going to spend the next 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and we're going to pray together, all of us. And we're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins. I don't want anybody praying for the Holy Ghost yet. Right now, we're just going to pray a prayer of repentance together. Can we do that? Every eye closed in the building, I want you to talk to Jesus. Come on, I can't do it for you. You've got to open your mouth and say, Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, please wash me in your blood today. God, I believe your word. God, I believe that it says those who are faithful to confess their sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And I'm asking you right now to wash us in your blood, to cleanse us, oh God. Forgive me, oh God, of all of my sins, every mistake, every failure, every bad attitude, on everything I've done that has been displeasing in your sight. And I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to cleanse my heart, to cleanse my mind, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. God, cut off the entanglement of sin. God, lift this guilt from off my mind. Take this shame away from my heart. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to do. I'd like every person in this house to lift your hands towards heaven. And I want you to lift your head towards heaven like this. If you came up here to receive the Holy Ghost, don't hang your head. This is a posture of shame. This is a posture to receive from heaven. You're going to lift your head. I want you to close your eyes and get your heart and focus on Jesus. And I simply want you to begin to worship the Lord. I want you to say hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. And you're going to feel yourself wanting to make sounds with your mouth that you have never made before. And the moment that you feel that come on you, all you got to do is let those sounds begin to come out. All you got to do is begin to speak the sounds that are already trying to come out of your mouth. Are you ready? Every hand lifted. Every head raised towards heaven. Every eye closed. All right, church family, I want you to begin to worship. The Holy Ghost is getting ready to be poured out. Ministers, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And when you hear me say in Jesus' name, I want you to begin to lay hands on those that have come up here to receive the Holy Ghost. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, on the authority of your Word, because of your promise, Lord, we command the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in this sanctuary right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break, to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Yes, to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. This wonder-working power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Jesus, victory belongs to Him. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Jesus, victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to
have had several that have already been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. But God's not done, because we're going to pray one more time. I heard you speak in tongues. There was somebody else that was standing here a few moments ago. She spoke in tongues. There she is. I heard you speak in tongues. I heard you speak in tongues.
Hallelujah.
Now, hallelujah. You're up here. And you either want more, or you still have not spoken in tongues, I want you to raise your hand. Because you need to leave here today knowing that you have the Holy Ghost. Be honest. I got one here, one here, one here. Come on. Young lady, the Holy Ghost was all over you. Come on, I got somebody right here. Come on up here. Come on up here. I got a young man right here that's going to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Did you speak in tongues when you were up here? No. All right. I want everybody to raise your hands one more time. Now listen to me. For those of you who came up here to pray for the Holy Ghost, I want you to hear me. When you feel that surge of power come on you, there's this temptation that you got to fill that space with your own words. You've got to stop speaking in English. And you've got to make room for the Holy Ghost to take over. You understand? So when we pray again, I'm going to say hallelujah. And I want you, when I'm done praying, I'm going to shout hallelujah. I want you to shout hallelujah one time. And then I want you to stop and just be ready. Because the next thing that comes out of your mouth is going to be something that you don't understand. And when you feel that come out, all you got to do is let it happen. All you got to do is speak those sounds that are wanting to come out of your mouth. You don't have to fill it up with English. You can just wait for that sound to come. And when that sound comes, you speak it. You surrender to it. You submit your tongue to it. And you begin to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. Are you ready? All right, I want you to lift your hands. Every person in this house, come on. Come on, there's another wave of harvest in this altar right now. Go ahead, I want you to begin to worship. Begin to worship and let your faith out right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let the gift of faith begin to operate. Let the gift of faith, come on. Believers, I want you to join those that are praying for the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray with them right now. Praise team, you can begin singing by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
We want.
floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it. Yeah. Hey.